I never ask mine. Demands my soul, my life, my all. Something to think about. How's everyone's week been? Has there been something exciting happen? Some birthdays? You know, get a promotion at work or a raise? That's everyone next week, isn't it? Minimum wage. Did you have something special planned? Or was it drama-filled? Most people know it was a wild night on Monday. Obviously, the power went out for some places, including our farm. The poor cows didn't get milked for quite a long time and they were suffering. Without a big generator, there wasn't much we can do about it. And all it was just a broken piece of wood on a pole, which was not allowing the power to get through for us. So then we've had the rest of the week trying to deal with issues that come from delayed milkings and things. But we're getting there. And just thinking about a week ahead. In a week, we should be rolling up our sleeping bags about now and tidying up our bunk beds after being at camp. And for those, also clean toilets to clean and things like that. But I'm looking forward to a camp this year. I haven't been to family camp for many years, actually. Finally, the things have fallen into place, allowing me to get away from the farm, get the family together, and get up to Queenstown. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Hope my registration's in. Hannah's not here to check, but it was put in a wee while ago. A week can be a long time, or it can go really quickly. And as the saying goes, time flies when you're having fun, but it stands still when you're watching the clock. My topic today is the week that changed the world. Now, I'm not talking about just the past week, although there may have been something that has changed your world, which has caught us out. And I'm not talking about the week that COVID was let out of the box, or a storm wreaked havoc, or the start of the Olympic Games. I'm not talking about those weeks. I'm talking about Easter, and we have touched on it, and Hannah gave us a wee illustration before about the eggs. Easter is coming up shortly. But I want to talk and speak to the days leading up to Easter, so the week before, sort of Sunday through to Thursday, if you will. I'll let someone else talk about Easter as it gets closer to the time and the message and implications of Easter. I'll touch on a few things that happened within those first few days of that week and hopefully leave you with a challenge to go away with at the end. So if you've got your Bibles, please, I'm going to turn to John chapter 12. I'm going to read from there, a passage from there. So you can read along with me. Well, hopefully it comes up on the screen there. Thank you, Evan. This passage sums up a lot of what comes to mind when I think about the overall picture of the week before Easter. And I love the book of John because it's real, relational side, almost softer. And just the way the writer of John, or John himself, puts everything together. So we'll read from verse 1. I'm going to read a wee bit, so just follow along. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, the disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look at how the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." I thought that would just be a good overview of what we're going to speak on today, or what I'm going to speak on today. So we'll set the story straight right from the start. The main person, the center of attention here, is obviously Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. At this point, he is to many people a miracle worker, a healer, a wise teacher. He has even brought his friend Lazarus back from the dead. To Jesus, to others, Jesus was a nut job, a burden, an imposter, a distraction from the traditions and the religious rules that had been set in motion for generations. Yet to a third group of people, namely the crowd, they didn't know who he was. They were watching him. They were often swayed by those speaking and yelling the loudest at the time. They were curious as to what this person of Jesus was all about. And is he who he says he is? Can he do the things that we keep hearing about? Are our religious leaders right, or are they actually wrong? They were filled with questions. Don't get me wrong, questions are good. And we've even learned about that this morning on how to start conversations. If you were to lay out the four accounts of Jesus' life, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all very similar, but have you noticed they're all different as well? Things are in different orders. Some books mention some things that aren't in others, and vice versa. I have found it interesting as I've been preparing this talk. As you read the different accounts, you can often be left wondering and thinking there must have been two similar events, but due to the order of things and certain details, we have to appreciate each book was written to different people by different people as they recall it many years later. But yeah, I've enjoyed trying to put this together, the journeys and the parables and sequence, to help understand the where, the when, and who's involved. And if you haven't done that before yourself, Just crank open all four of them, lay them out in front of you, and just see how they compare. Our journey begins at a place not too far from Jerusalem called Bethany, on a hill called the Mount of Olives, to the west of the city. Jesus has a friend there called Lazarus, and we know he's got a close bond, because in the chapter earlier we see Jesus visiting the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And when Lazarus became sick and died, Jesus wept for him. He had some real feelings for him. But after raising him from the dead, we now see Jesus popping in on the way and having a catch-up before he enters Jerusalem. And it's the first time I really thought about that as well. It was a reminder to me, while reading this, that when I invited Jesus into my life, he brought me back to life. And now he wants to keep popping in and catching up with each one of us. We shouldn't need to schedule on the calendar with a big exclamation mark. Better get in touch with Jesus. Better ring him. He's always there. He wants a real close friendship with each one of us. Yeah, I hadn't really picked up on the friendship that he had with Lazarus. Jesus continues his journey, and the crowds hear that Jesus is near, so they start looking for him. And John here doesn't actually mention how Jesus came to get his transport, namely a donkey. It mentions the donkey, yet the other Gospels tell the full story. John didn't think it was important in this piece, but for our sake, I'm going to jump across to Luke 19:28 just to hear how it came to be that Jesus is riding a donkey. Luke 19:28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.'" So Jesus sends two of his disciples, or apprentices, as I often refer to them. He sends two of them to the village ahead to get this donkey, and when they find it just the way, and then they find it just the way they are told. I consider myself a pretty generous person, but instead of being asking for a donkey here, they just make a statement: "The Lord needs it." No paperwork was involved. There was no discussion on how they're going to get this donkey back. Just, "The Lord needs it." And the owners didn't seem to mind either. They accepted the statement and let it go. But why did he need it? It was ultimately to fulfill prophecy, quoting Zechariah 9, which we also cover in John 12 there. Verse 15, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, the king is coming, seated on a donkey." Jesus could have walked, but at this point, he's fulfilling prophecy. Those that identified him as Lord and King of Israel did something special by lining the road in front of him with palm branches, and some of them even took their own cloaks off and laid them down in front of Jesus. And they were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And it'd be quite an interesting spot to be in, just watching from the sidelines. People chanting and cheering. We do know that sometimes when you get crowds going, they might not actually know exactly what's going on, but they're joining in with the chants, and it's just getting louder and louder. And in a previous gospel there, even the Pharisees actually tell Jesus to tell his followers to be quiet. And his comment was, "If they be quiet, the stones are going to sing themselves." Something special was going on here at this point in time. In verse 16, John chapter 12, interesting point there, that the same very thing happens in our lives. The disciples didn't realize what the significance of all these little things meant in the greater picture of this week to come. Here we have the story to look back on. We know what's going to happen. But when it comes to our lives, it's not often until later we stop and we pause and we look back to see where God has had his hand over situations in our lives. And I've shared previously at other times about times and places where Jesus has intervened and provided in my life without me realizing it. Is that true as well in your lives? Going to jump down to verse 19 there. Verse 19, we see the Pharisees observing the crowds. and they're not liking what they're seeing. They themselves didn't realize what was happening and how they played a part in this. Obviously, in every story, someone has to be the bad guy. But that was what they chose. They couldn't see the wood for the trees. They knew the scriptures. They should have been able to recognize the signs of the time. But their hearts were hardened. And so they started making plans to end this. And poor Lazarus, he gets caught up in it as well. He's already died once, been brought back. They want to have another go at him, actually finish him off, just to stop the momentum that Jesus had. People were turning to him and following him in large crowds. Something new and exciting was happening. I was going to go forward and talk about the rest of the week where Jesus unleashed a righteous anger, turned the tables in the temples. Other times where he was constantly questioned by the Pharisees about his authority to talk, where he gets his power from, that sort of thing. They're all trying to trap Jesus in his words. And the many parables that Jesus shared and taught his disciples in the crowds. There is so much that happened in this week. I suspect there was actually more conversations, more miracles, just unrecorded. I'll leave that to your leisure and reading, though, to go through and just see if you can pick out more bits there in this week ahead. But the remainder of this passage, Jesus talks about why he must die and uses an analogy of seeds and the benefits of service. But jumping down to verse 27. Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. We see Jesus showing a small glimmer of his human side here. He was struggling knowing what was going to come in the week ahead. He was human because he was born of a woman, but he was every bit God as well. And that gave him insight and foreknowledge to what was coming. And he knew that the week wasn't going to be easy. But I guess a big point I'd like you to take home is how important his life had been up to this point. Everything he said, everything he had done, the lives he had touched, the miracles he had performed, they were all going to be capped off with one last push to victory. And that was this week, starting with this entrance into Jerusalem. Have you ever trained for something? Worked hard at it for years? It could be studying at uni, it could be doing an apprenticeship, it could be, as an athlete. I certainly don't train as much as I used to when I was racing mountain bikes. But you'd have a date set on the calendar, months and even a year out, and you were working towards that date. You were building up to that one moment. Kilometres after kilometres of pedalling, hours of hours up and down hills, skids, jumping, just trying to get everything right, preparing for it, honing all your techniques, and nearing the event, a spanner would be thrown into the works. It could be an injury, it could be a malfunction which is set to derail all that hard work. Coming to national events, there was times where I had to borrow bikes because my one had broken down and those specific parts were not available at short notice. And it took a lot of mental strength to get through those little challenges. You could have just given up and said, no, I can't ride tomorrow. But you've got to push through. So being physically fit is one thing, but you've got to be mentally fit and prepared as well. And even during the event, you're slogging away. You know things aren't right, but you've still got to finish the race to get the prize. Starting a race isn't finishing it, and there are so many reasons to stop, to give up. It's too hard. My body hurts. Jesus could have thrown in the towel, but he said no. Oh, and said no. I've done 3 years of hard labour now. I've given it my all. I've been constantly hounded by unbelievers. Abandoned by friends, I'm constantly sought out for a miracle or a sign or just something else. Jesus could have said, nah, I've had enough. It's going to hurt, this next bit's just going to be too much. But aren't we glad that he didn't? We know what happens. We've had communion this morning as a remembrance of what he actually did. But Jesus knew the plan. He knew what he needed to be done. He could see that. He could see the end game. What was his attitude? Not my will, but yours be done. He also says, Father, no, say, he says, no, it is for this reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Friends, in your daily life, including your walk with the Lord, don't give up. That's my challenge to you, don't give up. Jesus didn't. When what lies ahead seems difficult, don't give in. When you know it's going to hurt, stay the course. When you don't know what to do, surrender and let Jesus take control. Don't try and do it on your own. Jesus said, my heart is troubled. But he also said, it was for this reason I've come to this point in time. Father, glorify your name. Jesus had the right attitude. So this week that's coming, I can't encourage you to go out and read and try and put together the parables and see what happened. Try and put things in perspective. Maybe pick up a couple things that, like myself, I learned about Lazarus and going forward. But this week is a week where we're going to stop and remember what Jesus has done for us. It's a week where we are challenged, but also we can also see where Jesus stayed the course. He carried on, and he knew what the end game was. Jesus is special because we have a calendar set by him, namely around this time. So a couple thousand years, 2,000 years ago, around this time. So Jesus, called this week the week that changed the world, and for many reasons. So, there you go, I'll leave you with those thoughts.
Thank you, Zane, for opening Word of God with us this morning. And, what a challenge it is that as we walk our week, we remember the week that the Lord walked as well. And that challenge to us is like our verse up there. Whatever we do is to bring glory to God. And whatever Jesus did was to bring glory to his God. To his Father. So thank you, Zane, for that challenge. And we're just going to finish on a song. So we're going to have one more song, and then we just invite everyone to have a cup of coffee, cup of tea, a biscuit, catch up with those of the family of God. Whatever you need to talk about. But it'd be good to catch up. So let's stand together, and we will sing.
Under your wings. I will be still, know you are God. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know His power, in quietness and trust, when the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King above the flood. I will be still, know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you. You are King above the flood. I will be still, know you are God.
Amen. Praise His name. Nigel.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Just a wee reminder for those of you that have registered for camp. There is the camp brochure. Some of you may not have picked that up. You've put in your registration form. But that brochure has the thing like the packing list, timetable, and the main themes of camp that you may want to think about before you come. So if you didn't pick up one of those, they're just out there on the desk, a little black stand-up thing with the registration forms. Cool. Enjoy your cup of tea.